It's one of the reasons why when you and I are disobeying him, when we are being defiant to the God of the universe, he takes that peace so that you and I will struggle into submission. So much of what we're reading today talks about the idea of righteousness and striving after the Lord and taking refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack no good thing. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Oh, come, oh children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Do you see the connection? Immediately. Young ones, listen. Save yourself a lifetime of headache and apologies. Keep your mouth shut. Say encouraging things, loving things. Watch what you say. When it hits here, filter it before it spits out, because once it spits out, you can't take it back. You can apologize. Look at verse 14. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. There's a pursuit here to this kind of peace, the kind of life that you and I are living, this peace of God. It is my hope. It is my need. And it is my mission. The peace of God. You see, we'll get to the next verse and we'll talk about the idea of having peace with God. My ultimate need in all of life is peace with God. That's the first kind of peace you and I need. It's the first kind of peace that sets us up. That is salvation. Do you understand? Salvation is the moment when two warring parties, one of which is going to lose. Would you like to take a guess on which one that is? And one of which is going to win. These two warring parties come to peace. The one that's going to lose steps in and says, I was wrong. I need you. Please forgive me. Please save me. And the one that was right and had all the power said, yes. That's peace with God. Son. Daughter. Yes. From enemy to child. When I lay down and I fall asleep after that, that's the peace of God. That is my hope. My greatest need is peace with God. My greatest hope is the peace of God over my life. And finally, what you and I see is you and I are on a mission from God, and it is to seek peace. I was scribbling this down yesterday, thinking about this morning. Peacekeepers aren't seeking peace. They just desire the conflict to stay internal or hidden. What's the difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper? What happens with evil when you have peacekeepers? What do? Don't rock the boat. Put it in your family for me. How many years have you heard? Don't say that today. Don't be like that today. Don't be too Christian today. Don't bring that stuff up today. What's the bag? Be a peacekeeper. Don't make today rough. Don't say something like that. Don't bring about the truth. Don't go into that well. I mean, it's Thanksgiving. You want to cause a fight? Right? Peacemakers seek peace. Peacekeepers want to just not rock the boat. Matthew chapter 5 says, peacemakers will be known as sons and daughters of God. The whole Christian mission is to what? Bring peace between God and every bit of ministry we do. That's what we're trying to achieve. And then when we bring peace between God and man, what happens between man and man? What happens now? You have a bridge for peace. We have overarching things that you and I love and agree with, and because of that, there can now be real peace. Seek peace. And pursue it. Peacekeepers, conflict, peacekeepers, some of the things that they do, it's almost like cancer. We're going to let this stuff sit. We're not going to deal with it. We're not going to talk about it. And we're just going to let it ride. And what do we know about that diagnosis? It does not end well. When you and I play peacekeeper, that's what we're hoping to do. But it's always a curse in the end. Now, we can be wise in how we navigate. We don't kick in doors and start yelling at people and all this other silliness. That's not us. Might be every once in a while, right? You might get the wonderful opportunity in your life to flip over some tables and not be living in sin. There are moments that merit that. If not, Jesus wouldn't have done it. There are times when that needs to be as abrasive as it can be. Why? Because you and I are dealing with vicious people in a vicious world. And some of the people standing behind us need that protection. I mean, we just had Veterans Day. What's the whole idea? Shake a hand with a cop next time you see him. Buy him a little gift card or something. Right? Thank you for standing in that gap between chaos and the rest of us. There are times that has to happen. It needs to happen in your home some. It needs to happen in my home some. There needs to be some things where there are some hard lines. Why? Because it's not just people, it's influences. And we need to step in and say, that goes off that TV and never comes back on. Right? That stays off that phone. And if it ever comes back on there, I'll drive over it with the big black van. Right? That influence is not welcome here. It will not be here. Like, there needs to be some of that stuff. You and I battle not against people, but against principalities. Right? Spirits and demons and influences. Right? Some of this stuff needs to be there. We need to be peacemakers. You and I come in. We help clean the mess up. And in all of that, you and I understand the Great Commission. Love God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus doesn't separate the two. He combines them. Why does he combine the Great Commission? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. They're the great commandment. I'm sorry. Because they're the same. How do people know you and I love God? By the way we love each other. So Jesus cannot separate those things and tell those asking him or testing him, what's the greatest commandment? Well, the greatest commandment is commandment one, of course. That's why it's one. Or five, of course. Right? It's the one with the promise. No, he can't do that. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So when you and I are peacemakers, what we see is the fulfillment of God in us and through us. That's the completing piece to all of this. P-I-E-C-E. The completing piece. My greatest need, my greatest hope, and why I'm living, the mission I'm on, are all peace-oriented. I need peace with God. I need the hope of God's peace over my life. And I need to go about my life making peace between God and man and between men and men, women and women. When's the last time you had a peacemaker step in and fill the gap between you and someone else? It's a really cool thing, isn't it? You ever had somebody step in and fill in what was there? Maybe there was a chasm that couldn't be crossed. There was a misunderstanding. There was something going on. And that person took it upon themselves to step in and bring peace. It's the coolest thing ever. And they looked like Jesus Christ. Never more than you and I, when we do that, do we look like Jesus. Bridging that chasm, making people see whatever else is going on, making them desire to reconcile, making them respond in repentance and forgive and move forward and build something strong. Man, that is beautiful. And that's why those people are known as the sons of God, because they look like him. So very, very cool to be a part of this ministry, this war. They look like their father. That's why they're called sons of God. A close correlation between how you and I use the words like peace and other things that are going on and how we turn away from evil and run toward righteousness and run toward the Word of God. Don't lose track of that. If you want God's peace, if you want to live at peace with God, if you want to live in peace, the peace of God, you and I have to be running toward righteousness. His word, his will, his things, his people. And man, the peace just comes around and swallows us up. That is part of His grace, part of His goodness. Psalm 89, I'm going to read a couple more and we're done for the day. I'm sorry, it's 85. Psalm 85, verse 8 says this, "Let me hear what God the Lord will speak. For He will speak peace to His people, to His saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely His salvation is near to those who fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet, righteousness and peace kiss each other." Righteousness and peace kiss each other. I love this one. This is peace with God. This passage is peace with God. Forgiveness. What's going to happen? If you read the first part of that, "Revive us, O Lord. Restore us, O Lord. It's sin. We've broken, God, fellowship with You. We are so sorry." And what does it say? He's going to speak over them. "You failed. You were wrong. You should be punished." That's not what He says. He's going to speak peace over His people. Those that want what You have to offer, those that repent, those that are sorry, those that want Your salvation, You are close to them. "Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace to His people and to His saints." Just don't turn back. Friends, don't turn back. Don't turn back to that foolishness. Don't turn back to that folly. Don't turn back to that sin. That thing is holding you down, that bitterness, that anger, that bad decision, whatever it is you're getting ready to do or you're coming out of or you're repenting of. And so many lifestyles, this is so easy to talk about, but for the rest of us, listen, it's right there for you too. Unforgiveness, anger, lust, right? Idolatry, power, longing for money. Like, when we talk about sin, like, it's real easy to point out things physically that don't look right and say, don't turn back to that, don't do that. But listen, you and I are struggling too. Don't turn back to that self-sufficiency. Don't turn back to that time when you didn't pray, when you weren't humble before the Lord, asking Him for His love and His wisdom and His care. Just because things are good now and they weren't a year ago or 2 years ago, don't turn back to those sins that nobody else can see but you. Those things that the Holy Spirit is impressing upon you, run from that. Run from that. Turn from that. Repent of that. That's the point of this passage. God gives peace to those that cry out for it. Just don't turn back. Don't run back into that mess. Don't do it again. Now we know, this is the warning, but we know how far our Lord's forgiveness goes. How many times you messed up? How many times you stepped in the same pothole? Rolled your ankle once, fell down once, slipped once, hurt every time. You kept stepping in it. Like, go around it, do something. Forgiveness is there. Sin, that lie, that conniving, that pride, that whatever. And the Lord forgives and forgives and forgives. But every time He does, it's always the warning. Don't turn back. Don't do it again. Run from it. I've got something more for you. You see, this is peace with God. What a beautiful promise. Those that seek Him will have what they need. Our peace is directly related to God's character and our relationship to His righteousness. And finally, the last one is this, Psalm 119, 165. Psalm 119, 165. We're going to read that whole psalm together, and then we'll have dinner. It's a joke. Y'all ain't even giggling. Psalm 119, 165. That's a lot of verses. Great peace have those who love Your law. The second part says, nothing can make them stumble. Isn't that awesome? Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses, and it's all about the Word of God. And the one that carries this much promise this morning is, great peace have those who love Your law. Loving what the Lord has to offer. See, when you love the Word of God, you love Jesus as He is and as He came. You love a Jesus that the people next to Him did not even understand. Why? Because you and I get a complete picture of Him in His Word. They couldn't understand what they were seeing. So when you and I love the Word of God, who we are loving is a who. It's Christ. And in that kind of love and in that kind of devotion, when you and I are honestly, humbly searching this Word and applying what it has to say, there is tremendous security. tremendous security. The peace of God is all over your life. As they come today to play, as we get ready to finish up, this peace is eluding so many people in our culture. And it is the birthright of you and I. Galatians chapter 5 calls out the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. The tree, the fruit that you and I bear from this life. Love, joy, peace. Love, joy, peace. Patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. All beautiful. What words they are. But this morning the focus is peace. That is the fruit of my life and yours. That is the birthright. Right? All my kids got the same chin. Right? It was part of their birthright. Like, you're welcome, don't spend it all in one place. Part of them looking like me. Part of them looking like my wife. Part of me looking like my Lord. Part of me bearing the fruit that He gives. One of those pieces is peace. You and I struggling with it this morning, you stand. If you need something, you come. There's a God that can supply anything you need. This Lord Jesus is good. He is righteous. He is kind. And He is inexhaustible in time or resources. Come this morning if you need something. You need to pray.